be helpful, I started noticing her tweets. And then we started connecting, and she would share information, and I didn't know her at all. And I started inviting her to help me teach, to be an adjunct. And since then, we've done multiple projects together for the school, outside the school, for big brands, for brands you never heard of, for startups. And it's been a really special thing for me to work with Linda and Liz Broadwright, who you also know, who was a student before she became my equal in what we do. So one, this is all to say a plug for the two courses we have coming up. One is the 4 nights over 8 weeks that are coming up in March, April, and May. And then on Thursday, May 16th, we're all going to be doing the social media one-night stand. And if you're free and interested in that, please do come. And the full circle of the story is that Linda told me, after we started working and after spending all this time together and teaching together, she said, "Sri, I edited you a lifetime ago at Sesame Street Parents Magazine."
And he never put in an invoice for the last article he did.
There you go. That's why being an entrepreneur means being really responsible about all parts of your life. But anyway, so please welcome at Word Whacker, WHACKER.
So everyone here, this is the new tools panel. This is where you're going to find out about some of the coolest things out there that are going to help you with your social. And I am going to go over to that board and write down everybody's name, their Twitter handles.
I'll
in a
minute.
Oh, okay. And pardon? Can you hear now? Okay, I'm going to sit. So we have four tools with us today, and I will tell you, they are actually really nice guys. First, we have Nick Kellett from Lisley, we have Robert Moore from OneQ, we have Sam Epstein from Rebel Mouse, and we have Eric Kim from Twyla. The format we're going to use is they're going to each take a short time to introduce their tool and talk about it and show you about it. Then we'll take questions on that tool for a few minutes because we have limited time. And then there'll be time at the end for more general questions. So we're going to begin with Nick and Lisley, and he can introduce himself and then introduce his tool.
So I'm going to write down the names and Twitter handles here. Before anybody tweets, gee, this is another entrepreneur panel with four male speakers. There was a wonderful woman speaker named Megan Berry on the panel, and she was sick, and that's why she couldn't come in.
Megan had laryngitis, so that Rebel Mouse would have been Squeaking Mouse.
Yes, exactly. So, but we have a great substitute, and we're very happy. Good.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nick Kellett. I'm a co-founder for a startup called Lisley. And we make a huge focus on the fact that human beings love lists. So by lists, you all read blog posts with titles like 10 ways to do such and such, 7 things you should do by Friday. These types of blog posts, they account for roughly 30% of content on the web. And the reason for that is very, very simple. They perform. So publishers turn around to their writers and tell them to write list posts because they know list posts get read more, they get shared more. And the reason for that is very, very simple. Lists are information snacks. They're really easy to consume, and they're really easy to skim through and go, got it. Oh, what's that? Something new, something high value in that list. You've discovered something. And so basically, lists today on the web exist everywhere. They account for 30% of the content. They account for more, something approaching 50% of all the views on list posts get shared more and read more. And so that content today is completely static, which is completely out of tune with the rest of the web. And so what Lisley does is comes along and takes those list elements of your blog posts and turns them into interactive content. And it turns it into a crowdsourcing platform so that you can engage your audience to vote directly on lists inside your blog posts. So you've got 10 ways to do something, and people can vote on which things they like the most, and those items will move to the top. If there's an 11th where someone's missing, your audience can actually add that. The thing we all forget today is that content decays. And so there are three assumptions that I kind of come at this from, which I think, you know, I'm sure two of these you'll agree with, one of them you've probably not thought about, is that content is an asset. And when we write something, it's an expense, but it's actually something we're accruing as an asset. But what we keep doing is putting out more and more content and not actually focusing on the life cycle of our content. So we put out a blog post, and it gets some traffic for a while, and then it decays, so it's decaying in value. When you put content out through Listly, that content stays alive for longer. It gets participational and emotional investment from the audience. So it gets seen more, people share it more because they actually contributed, they're actually part of your post. So instead of actually commenting and adding being in the comments section of blog posts, people can be first-class contributors directly to your content in your blog. And then because they're part of your blog, they'll actually share it more passionately. They care about what it is they contribute to you, it becomes their content in their mind. We actually make lists infinitely easier to share than they are to copy. So you can, one way to think of this thing is like YouTube for lists. You wouldn't actually host a YouTube video of your own now. You would put it up on YouTube and then you'd embed it back in your blog. And that's exactly the same thing with Listly. You put your lists up on Listly and then you embed them back in your blog and then your audience can vote and contribute and comment on that content. So we focus on the life cycle of your content. We don't think, I suspect many of you don't think about the life cycle of content. And then obviously, I think you're all trying to get eyeballs. You all know we'll get content seen more and get more engagement. So normally, I've shown sort of two, the classic way of thinking about content is you launch a post, a piece of content, it spikes, and then it moves down to being flat. And so you move on, you solve the problem by creating more content the next day, and more content, and more content. And it's a machine you're just having to feed. Whereas what we see is, if you follow the listing model, where your audience gets involved, and keeps getting involved for longer, we can spike it higher. But we've seen we get a positive lift over a 6 to 9 to 12 month period where that content gets consumed more and shared more because people are participating. So we give you better search rankings, we give you more emotional investment from the audience, and that drives up traffic and engagement in your content. So that's the difference. We know lists work, there's no question. Because anyone, whether you like or hate writing list posts, I think everyone in this room knows that list posts get more eyeballs. So being able to make a better job of doing list posts, that's what Listly does. We focus on taking the content inside your blog post, but we also put it in a way that people can actually re-embed your content across the web. And so many people can embed your lists, which then spreads your ideas across the web through collaboration. Your list can be embedded many times in different partners. So if you create interesting, valuable content, other people will write about those lists, they'll embed those lists in their blog, you get backlinks and traffic from that content. You get engagement, and your content is being reused instead of being copied and not referenced. So there's many ways to use Listly. I think there are three categories: create content, curate content, and listen. Listly is an awesome platform for getting feedback from your audience. So you can just use lists as a feedback mechanism to get suggestions and input. You can create a list where you don't involve the audience if you don't want to. You can create a list of whatever it is you want to write about, 10 ways, so it doesn't have to be 10, as many ways as you want to create whatever it is you want to write about. You don't have to involve the audience, but if you do, it means you actually have to do less writing. So you can start off and write a top 10 post that has 3 items in it, and actually be genuinely open to the crowd and say, well, what do you think? Here's my 3 favorite quotes. What would you add to that? If you put up 10, it doesn't really look like you're actually listening and wanting help. If you put up a few, it really does feel like listening. And when the first person contributes, the second person contributes, it begins to roll and snowball. So we have lists that have gone large in every single dimension. We have lists that have had like 5,000 people contributing to them. We've had lists that have been used 300,000 times. We've had lists that have been embedded 200 plus times. So this is a scalable platform for deploying the most useful content on the web in the form of a list. And so creating content, curating as well. You can curate links. So curate the best videos on the web and create playlists and embed them and then have the crowd back to vote and contribute to those playlists. You can create related posts or Who's ever written a blog post series or written several articles on the same subject? That's a good question. We must all have written a post. Like, the story evolved, and we end up writing four or five stories to make up the full story. And so, basically, this thing makes it super easy to connect all of your posts to the series. Right now, it's a pain. You have to go back and edit every post as you write it, to link to every other post. And basically, that's super, super simple. So I'm going to show you a few examples now of how some of this is done. So here's an example of someone's guest blog post. So he's just created links back to every single blog post he's written, and you can vote on that content, you can click through to the actual posts themselves. I could, for example, further down in this blog post, I created a list during the conference of every tool that I've seen mentioned. So there's Longcube, Listly, Seesaw, Visible Tweets, Storyful, etc. And I created that and embedded that list inside this blog post. And these lists are fully responsive. They actually, you embed it into your blog post, and they automatically resize. So they'll grow to fit the length of the list, they'll size to fit the available space, and your audience can simply vote on those lists to decide which of that content they like the most of all. So let me give you an example. Here's an event that was crowdsourced. It was a 24-hour event. They crowdsourced 24 speakers to speak 1 hour at a time on a topic, and they did it all by Google Hangouts. They made 24 Google Hangouts, and they sourced 24 speakers from around the world. And you can see, here's the list. The list has been viewed 22,000 times. There's 415 people that have actually followed this list and have voted on it. You can actually trace it back. One of the principles of Listly is complete transparency. So everyone who contributes to your list, you can see who's voted. That's really powerful. To be able to see who's committing to a cause, who's backing something, sharing people's identity through a list and what they care about. And so inside a video, they actually made a video inside to play inside this list. And that's just embedded a YouTube video, and it just plays dynamically there. And they created a video to explain how they wanted people to submit for this worldwide 24-hour virtual conference.
Crowdsourcing the speaker submission instructions for TFT 12. Tomorrow, stop.
Wait for it to stop.
Tomorrow is my TFT future today. Or TFT 12 is going to be the world's first 24-hour public sun virtual.
Okay, so you can see they basically managed to source all these people, they voted things up and down the list. It was a very practical, very simple way, and that content has been embedded many times around the web. I'll just show you one more.
Nick will show us one more, and then we're going to, anybody who has questions can start asking him questions.
I think I might just go to a question on the basis that there's nothing's actually moving.
Okay. Amy, do you see something that can help fix it?
The Wi-Fi is turned off on there.
Is the Wi-Fi turned off?
It is, but it's...
It's actually plugged into it's hardwired. But that happened to me like 10 minutes ago. It stopped just working and then
Okay, so just to give you an idea, I've been, Lisley, Nick has been doing this for several months now, and I got an email this morning which amused me because I was going to write an article and that I was going to embed a Lisley list into it. It was going to be an article about tools, social tools or computer tools that baby boomers like. And somehow I never got around to the article, and I got an email this morning telling me that this list now has 100 followers. And it's an empty list because I never wrote the article. So it just shows you the power of Lisley. It really has a lot of power. So any questions? And do we have a mic? Oh, but there are speaker mics there. Linda, do you want to come?
So nice to see you in person.
Linda, why don't you, can you come to the...
Okay.
What are the steps?
Really simply, you make a list. If I would show you if it was...
There's no internet.
I've got no internet, so...
Really?
It was...
You see the symbol system?
Yeah, but it's hard...
Okay, here it's come. So basically, I make a list.
Yeah, just...
Did you show them the list already?
I've shown lots of ones I've already made. But
the one from here.
Oh, yeah, I showed the one that we added to there. So this is my... Once I've got my list, it's basically a blank list, and then I can add to that list, and I could just add in like a fluffy bunny. You don't have to link to things. When you're curating, you're typically linking to content, like videos or other blog posts. But if you're writing, you could just be writing like all the content and copy you want around that particular item. If I add in, for example, Instagram, I'll add Twitter as a link, like my profile as a link. So this time I add an item with a link, because it's going to link to somewhere else. And I paste in my Twitter profile. This extracted the metadata from Twitter, and then it's put in that link, and if I click on that, it'll take me straight back to my to where the content came from. But if I want to embed this list, right away it's in scroll. I can show you, basically there's an icon, and you just pop it up, and it lets you embed the list. If you're short code, you just pop that into your blog post, and now it exists.
So if you're doing a group of stories over time,
yeah,
you just take the link from the list,
yeah,
and then how do you get people to come in and add what they want in?
You basically, in your blog post, just where you ask for help in your blog post, with the context, the title of your blog post, the introduction, before and after you, where you embed the list, you ask for help. You can ask for help in Lisley as well, but I really advise people to put it in the blog post to ask people how they want people to contribute. And be really clear and ask them for one thing, rather than being like, if you ask people for something specific, they'll follow that through. And then once they see several people contributing to a list, it tips pretty quickly that people will actually vote on stuff.
But it doesn't just have to be for blogs, it can be for other...
No, you can link to blog posts, you can link to videos, Prezi's, slideshares, I mean, anything you want. And then you just take that list and embed it. So with a blog post series, you make your list, you embed that list in your first blog post, and then you write a second, you add that blog post to the list. You create a second blog post in the series, you just add the blog post series to the list, and embed the list. And it's done. You write the third blog post. There's nothing else to do. Just add the list to the link. And it's done.
Okay, I think that we really have to move on here because we're running really late. But I want to mention that we will have another round of questions afterwards. And also that these people with their tools are going to be in the lounge after this if they want, and tomorrow. So if you have more questions about any of this, please go find them in the lounge. They'll be at the computers that are on the sidewall. Robert, are you ready to start? And Robert Moore of the Internet Media Labs is going to explain OneCube, and he should introduce himself first and say something about himself quickly.
Hi, Robert Moore, Media Lab Rat on Twitter. I'm going to respectfully ask that you all follow me right now. That reason will become apparent in a couple of minutes while Nick's getting set up.
Media Lab Rat. I mean, you're not going to find another Twitter handle like that one, so. It should be on the sideboard there. Yeah.
Okay, so I am the Media Lab Rat. I'm very appreciative to be here today. Thanks to Linda and Sri. And the opening comments last night for Sri really kind of set up what I'm going to be talking about today. Because what he really said is what we're here for is to build relationships, right? But being social inherently, if you're going to be social, it's to build great relationships. I'm here because I built a relationship with Linda, even though Amy Vernon thinks that she introduced us. We actually met her.
So totally did.
We met on a Twitter chat. We met on a Twitter chat a year ago.
No, we met through Amy Vernon.
Anyway, so relationships and escalating digital relationships into real life relationships is where all the magic happens in social. We built OneCube to help people that are engaged in social and engaged in social with a purpose to be able to manage that purpose more effectively, more efficiently. When people ask us who are core, who's your customer going to be, I like to say small business.